Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Before we bring in Rick, Peter, I just want you to note one thing.
Okay, what's that?
See, we broke late because Don cannot lose an argument.
Oh, I was going to say, I just thought it was showing disrespect for the clock and the guest.
That was Don.
It was Don.
Yeah, because he cannot lose an argument.
I don't want to hear you.
But he doesn't even want to end it. Doesn't want to end it.
All right. Listen, whoever you want to blame.
He's banging his head against the mic. Let's bring in Rick DiPietro. Handsome, talented, everything you'd want to be in a man. And here he is. Hi,
Rick. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Michael, I want to say thank you first and foremost. I woke up this morning. I hadn't heard Don's rant yesterday. I just saw the video.
Right.
So we actually played it this morning. It was hilarious. But I'm glad during the course of the actual meltdown happening that you explained to the audience that wasn't watching on television that it was Don hitting his face on the microphone. Otherwise, for a second, if you listen, you think you came back from break and Peter didn't realize that you guys were back.
Listen, it's complicated doing this, Rick. It's very, very hard. I have a lot of things going on, as you know.
Yeah,
It's the benefit of a headset, I can tell you that, Peter.
Wow, look at that.
Well, so, hands-free Rick, device is what you're saying.
Excuse me?
We've got game two tonight, and I don't know if you heard the previous segment, but I'm a little bit concerned when the coach of the Rangers said we just played our best game and they lost. So what's the likelihood of them playing a better game than the best game they played?
Well, here's the thing. I know he said that, and I think, Don, you'll probably agree with me. I think that's the best two periods that I've seen them play. That was not the best 60 minutes. Their third period was okay. And I know a lot of people want to say, yeah, they got out of their game. Well, let's also remember that, you know, Carolina took care of Boston at home. They were one of the best goal differential, third period teams in the NHL. So it's like the third period was going to be tough. And the Rangers are an inexperienced group. So there was going to be, you know, 5-10 minutes where Carolina was going to find their game. Brendan Moore made some line changes, and that's exactly what happened. But for me, when push comes to shove, the Kako empty net, that's your chance right there. You can't miss that chance. They bury that, it's 2-0, and game's over.
Yeah, and Hedl was stoned in the first period after he scored his goal. Ranta, I thought, was very good. I think that's the difference, Michael, when we're talking about coaching, is sometimes goaltenders kind of just change it, and Ranta was very good. But I would like to see them get more offense. And Gallant said he's thought about it but won't do it, and that's breaking up the Hedl line, maybe putting Lafreniere replacing Vetrano on that top line. If you end up getting in a situation tonight where you're just not getting very many opportunities, doesn't he have to put somebody on that third line up top or shuffle the second line and just get those three players more ice time, maybe with more skilled players?
Well, you've seen him do it. You had, you know, in that game seven, you saw him bring Mott up for defensive purposes. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have with that, Don, is the kid line's been so good, and Lafreniere does not like playing his off wing. He much rather be on the left side. So,
sure.
And you have, I mean, for him, unfortunately, you have those, you know, at those top six, you have, you know, two of your best players that play left wing. So,
And Kreider would rather be on the left than the right. So that's
exactly
what,
right.
You know, screws that up, yeah.
So Panarin, the same thing.
So do you then, if you don't want to break it up, do you give them more ice time? Do you make that your top line where they get the majority of the ice time instead of the Strome line, instead of the Zibanejad line?
Well, if you like your matchup, right? I mean, Carolina did a really good job, and they have the entire playoffs. When you look at, you know, Marchand, you know, Bergeron and Pasternak in Carolina, where they can match lines, where Stahl's line does a really good job of shutting down that top line. Yeah, if that's going to be the case, that, you know, Strome's line isn't going to generate the offense that you need, and, you know, Mika's line's kind of more of your, okay, we're going to match you up with the best line, and you're going to try to shut them down. Yeah, I mean, if the kid line's going the way it was going in the first game, then, yeah, absolutely. I think they've earned that.
Now, Don gave his reason for this. Let's get yours. Why do you think Panarin's had such a blah kind of playoffs?
That's a great question. Well, I think a lot of people are. I mean, he's like he's a guy that you would obviously target going into a series. Like, we need to shut him down. Yeah, I didn't think he was great in the Pittsburgh series. He, you know, fortunately gets that overtime winner, and then in game one, the Aho goal. Like, if you're not going to contribute, you know, on the offensive side, I can't have breakdowns defensively the way he had breakdowns. I mean, Strome ends up changing, and then, you know, Panarin really doesn't – you don't see any sense of urgency him getting back on that Aho goal. I don't know, Michael, to be completely honest. I mean, he's so good that you would expect in big moments that he would be, you know, a guy that rises to the challenge. But, the other thing, too, is how good he is in the power play. I mean, the Rangers had, you know, there was one power play, and Strome ends up taking an offensive zone penalty to negate that power play. So, I mean, each team only had one penalty in that game. So, you know, maybe if the Rangers can do a better job here drawing some power plays in this game, you'll see a better Panarin.
Rick, do we in the media make too big a deal of, like, these moments, you know, the Rangers losing the triple overtime, game one to the Penguins, kind of having game one in this series stolen? Do we make too much in the media of how, like, backbreaking that is emotionally, or is it really that crippling when you're in the locker room?
In the moment, it's tough. I think I was listening to the post game, and I think Steve Valiquette, who you guys have had on the show, actually said, you know, in a moment like that, you'd like to, you know, learn a lesson without paying a price. So, I mean, the Rangers in that third period learned a lesson. Like, that we have to be better in the third period. It's a 60-minute game. But they ultimately, in overtime, on just a nothing shot. Like, that's a nothing. Huh. That's a wrist shot to the net. Shesterkin, you could take that shot five million times. He'd never let it in. Ends up going off lingering stick. They paid a price. And we had Rod Brindamore on the point with us yesterday, and he said had that been a regular season game and his team played as poorly as they did in the first two periods, he would have had a real problem with the game. But because it's the playoffs, you know what? We take the win, we move on. But guys realize that, you know, if we come out the way we came out in the first two in game two, that we're probably not going to be as lucky.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Rick, tell me about the communication you have to have with your defensemen, because we've seen so many goals beat Shesterkin with deflections off their own players. I'm not even sure where Lindgren was on that play, because it didn't look like he was really defending anybody. What kind of communication do you have with your defensemen when the layout, so you can see the shot, get out of my way, so clear? Like, how important is communication between your defensemen and the goaltender?
It's really important. I mean, especially for Shesterkin, because, I mean, Donnie, you know this with Carolina, how aggressively they forecheck. So his ability to handle the puck is so important for them, not getting hemmed in their zone. So that's, I mean, talking there right away is humongous. And as far as, you know, trying to, you know, get your defenseman and your low forward kind of in the right position, that's also really important. I just think that was one of those weird plays where, you know, Lindgren's trying to cover the front of the net, and as Cole turns to shoot, he realizes, uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to get in front of this thing, so let me move. And, you know, his stick ends up, you know, still in the way. But you're seeing it through the entirety of the playoffs. Like, I mean, these goalies are so good, so locked in, that a lot of the goals being scored are, you know, screenshots, broken plays, tips. And I think for me, if I was a Rangers fan, that's the one thing that I would actually be most frustrated with is, all right, I mean, it's happened to us. We see it's happening all over. Like, let's do some of that. Like, let's make sure we make Antti Raanta a little uncomfortable. I mean, Antti Raanta's good, and he played great in game one. But, I mean, we're making him look a little bit too comfortable in net right now.
I want to hear it from you, because obviously I'm looking at it from a layman's terms, and you played the position. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, how good is Shesterkin?
Who, this season or in general?
Let's go both. First, this season.
This season he was an 11.
all right, in general?
In general, talent-wise, I would put him right up there. I think still for me, Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the NHL. But complete game, all the things he does well, like there's real no weakness to Shesterkin's game. I would say Shesterkin's probably, if Vasilevsky's a 10, I would say Igor's probably right there as a 9.
Interesting.
And he's phenomenal. Michael, he's phenomenal. Like, he's going to win the Vezina. That's a guarantee. I think there's a lot of people that if you really just broke down most valuable player to his team, like if this player was taken off this team, what they would be, that Shesterkin is right there for most valuable player. He's that good. He makes up for a lot of their sins. But, I mean, at one point during the season, like later on in the season, he had a .942 save percentage. The best ever is .944. Like, that's like, and the Rangers aren't a great defensive team either. And he's still putting up numbers like that, which is crazy.
And I know it's sacrilegious to say because Fox won the Norris last year and Lindgren's been banged up late in the season and in these playoffs. But right now, wouldn't you say Trouba and Miller is their top pairing?
Yeah, Miller's fantastic. He really is. You're not being nasty if you were to point out that Adam Fox is not elite defensively. And I think you saw, like, he got exposed defensively when Lindgren was out. Like, that was not a good combination. When Lindgren went out, putting Braun with Fox was not the right move. And they addressed that because when Lindgren got banged up in game one, it was Fox and Miller. So I think Miller's really stood out. Like, Miller, his size, his speed, like, he should flourish in this kind of playoff atmosphere, and I think he has.
Are you hearing anything about Don and the Devils' job?
Listen, you know how much I love Don. I think he's one of the best in the business. I tried with the Islanders. I made some phone calls. It just makes too much sense for him not to get the job. If I'm in charge and you start, I mean, Don, I mean, he's a legend in New Jersey. He's got a New Jersey Devils tattoo. He's already got the friendship with Kenny. No one watches or consumes more hockey than Don. It's got to be. It makes no sense if it's not.
Yeah, that's what Aaron Boone's hearing, too.
But I'm not going anywhere.
Well, you don't have to go anywhere. I think you're good enough. I think you're talented enough to do both.
Wow.
I agree with that, too.
I could do the Yankees in this. You could do the Devils in this.
Just think about it, Don. Michael does the Yankees, okay? He does this show. Apparently, he just got inducted into the NFL Football Hall of Fame with the jacket he's wearing today. I mean, that right there, that's three big jobs.
Interesting. Interesting.
I love it, Michael.
Oh, you feel good about your Mets?
No, not really.
Why not?
I feel great. They got off to a good start. I mean, but the fact is that, you know, we still don't know what's going on with DeGrom, right? And now we got McGill out. And, you know, the way Scherzer made it sound when he took himself out was, you know, I had a bit of a twinge. I don't think I really tore it. And then, of course, in typical Mets fashion, we get the MRI results and we're out 6 to 8 weeks.
They'll be fine.
So, yeah, that's a lot.
They're going to be fine.
They've showed a lot of heart, though, Rick.
They needed that win, though, Don. Could you imagine that, though? You get that news, and then all of a sudden Diaz, who's been lights out, he comes in, blows the save, and God forbid we lose?
I mean, both of them. Both games. That night and then the day game yesterday where they fell behind 6-5 in the 10th. That's why I feel good, because they're finding ways to win games they're not supposed to win, games that they blow. Diaz had a blown save earlier in the year. They came back and won the game anyway. So there's a certain something here, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And just imagine, fantasize, what would it be like if they're able to keep their head above water, maintain this lead, and then get DeGrom and Scherzer back? Like Michael said, it would be like you just traded for two, you know, Cy Young Award winners for your playoff run.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, that's the way to look at it right now, right? Is that, I mean, you got off to a great start, so you can afford to scuffle a little bit. I'm sure, I mean, Epler's already doing his due diligence on, you know, trades that can be made to address the rotation if they have to, which makes me feel good because I know Steve Cohen will do whatever it takes. And you're right. I mean, Scherzer's going to be, what, 38 in July? Had the dead arm last year in the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, if we get DeGrom back and he looks like DeGrom and Scherzer's had the 2 months off and we're looking at the postseason and I got a healthy DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett as my top three in the rotation for the playoffs. I love my chances.
All right, so Rick and Dave Rothenberg, they're on from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday. Now, we're also giving away tickets to game 4 of the Rangers-Canes series, and you'll get your first opportunity on Monday with Rick and Dave. So tune in then, and we'll have some tickets as well on Monday. Before I let you go, Don doesn't like to play the hypothetical game, but I enjoy it to the utmost. So if, in fact, Don got the Devil's job and left the show, how quickly would you call Dave to say, I'm out, I'm joining Kay and Peter?
I'd probably just throw him a text. I'd probably just send a text, probably.
Yeah, why would he really? You wouldn't even dignify him with a call.
See ya! No, because he got it. I can't deal with the emotion. You know how emotional he is. You saw it after the Rangers game. This guy, he's bossing Adam Graves around, and then he wants to go for pizza, and then from pizza he wants to go to see naked ladies.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
Wait a minute, he wanted to go to a strip club?
Yes, he's an animal.
Wow.
Wait, he did?
Yes, he wanted to go. That's where it was headed.
Oh, wow.
What? Oh, that's how hyped he was?
Peter, wow. He had poor RJ, that little handsome nugget, stealing cake pops and condiments, like mustard packets out of the suite, this animal. Oh,
this is unbelievable.
This is a side of him I was not aware of.
I'm glad we brought it up.
And RJ's only got a tiny little bomb. I don't know how much mustard you could fit up there.
The things that RJ could have done in the strip club. Anyway, Rick, we'll hear you on...
What a cool dad Dave would have been to bring his son to the strip club.
I'm keeping you employed.
Goodbye, Rick. Have a good weekend.
Love you guys.
Later.
Love you back. 1-800-919-3776. There's a lot to unpack there. We will do it when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.